You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is Ted Dixon, CEO and co-founder of InkResearch.ca, Canada's first online financial news and research service, providing insider news and knowledge to investors. His website, CanadianInsider.com, home of the Canadian Insider Club. Ted, welcome back to the show.
Jim, thanks for having me back, and thanks for everyone tuning in.
All the BRICS nations met in Russia for several days a week ago. Did they come up with the new gold-backed currency?
Well, it was a pretty big meeting in Kazan, Russia, and it was in Russia because it was Russia's turn to chair the group. And they've set out their roadmap for their aspirations in terms of increasing the use of local currencies in trade and finance. Now, I think it's important to take a step back. There's been a lot of discussion in the media about BRICS currency. Well, actually, it's as far as I'm aware, there's never been a goal set out by the BRICS countries to actually launch a BRICS currency. Now, what has clearly happened, and I think from the developments out of Kazan and the summit in 2024, is that they have taken the next steps to achieve two big goals. The first goal is to make it easier for BRICS countries to interact amongst themselves. And the second goal is to promote greater use of local currencies in global trade and in trade amongst themselves. So the focus has been on promoting global trade, their own use of local currencies. And for the last few years, they've been exploring different ways to develop that, and it's very interesting that I think in Kazan they've come to a consensus, and we lay this out in our top 20 mining and crypto report for October, which was published on Halloween, it's not a very scary document. Actually, it's quite encouraging. So I would encourage all our Canadian Insider Club members and Ink Research members to take a look at it if they haven't already, because it sets out the ways forward for the BRICS. And it's quite, I think, encouraging for those who are watching this and are hoping to see a gold-backed currency at some point in the future, because what they've decided, and this is really important, it sounds pretty technical or, I don't know, bureaucratic or however you want to characterize it, but the BRICS Business Council, which is kind of taking the lead on this, they decided that unanimously, I think, it seems like, that it will be voluntary for different BRICS countries to participate in these new payment and trade innovations. And why that was important, because BRICS is done by consensus, so we had some drama, I think, in the BRICS summit when Brazil vetoed the nomination for Venezuela to become a partner country. I believe that's a termination. It wasn't for full BRICS membership, but it was just become a partner member, a part of the expanded membership. So there is this requirement for unanimity. And so they all agreed, look, what we'll do is those countries that want to get involved and tag along onto these new payment systems, they can do it, and those that don't want to. So that's really important, because it means those countries that are motivated will push forward. And then others can tag along later when they're ready and if they like what they see. So basically, it's eliminated a lot of the bureaucratic inertia. I mean, when you're trying to get 5 or 9 countries or 10 countries all to agree on approaches to engage in facilitate international trade, it's actually quite complicated. So by narrowing it down to the real keen countries, the momentum should persist now in getting something done. So let's take a step back and look at, okay, so what's next? Well, there's two kind of tracks I see here. The first track is, how do they get BRICS countries to interact with each other more? And there's three three areas of focus that I can see for that. And, you know, again, this is in the report for those who want to read a bit more about it. It's not a huge report, but it does talk about this a bit more. Basically, they're looking at something called BRICS Pay, which is, my understanding, is going to be sort of more of potentially a consumer retail payment application where you can go and buy your goods in, you know, rubles or renminbi or rupees, whatever currencies participate in this, again, because it will be voluntary. The second is an interbank institutional messaging system. And while they don't really come out and say it, this, I think, is the system that would compete with the SWIFT system, so you can send payments bank to bank using this messaging system instead of the SWIFT system. And the third is something called BRICS Clear, which is actually probably probably the biggest potential development out of Kazan, and that's where countries would have this financial instrument clearing mechanism where you could, in theory, settle equity transactions, options transactions, you know, loans. So the BRICS Clear, it would be a big development where you would have capital market participants being able to clear cross-border financial transactions through this mechanism. Now, all of these systems that I've and solutions that I've just talked about, basically they would use, I believe, you know, local currencies, but it really requires, for example, a recipient in China to want to be able, you know, to want to receive rubles or rupees, right? Like, so it'll be up to individual countries to still keep their local currencies attractive enough where someone's willing to accept it. Now, then this gets us to, okay, what are they going to do, though, to really invigorate the acceptance of local currencies amongst members? Because what I've just talked about, those are three system solutions, but it doesn't really get to the heart of the actual, increasing the acceptance of the rupees and the renminbi and the rubles, right, in trade. It gets to how they could be exchanged, but it doesn't really get to the heart of the willingness to accept them. And that's where the BRICS unit comes in that we've talked about in the past, which we've covered that in a blog post in July. It goes into some detail, and the construction of the unit and its design, as far as I know, is still on track. It hasn't been altered in terms of the big kind of scheme of how it would work. It would be 40% backed by gold, and then the rest of the basket would be backed by the currencies of the participating countries. And so the unit will be basically pursued as a aim to create a standardized unit of account that can be used for trade and investment and promoting economic integration and cooperation within the BRICS Plus framework. That's right from the BRICS Business Council report. So the unit is on track for development, basically, and it's going to be developed by countries who are keen to develop it, and the ones that aren't ready or not that interested in the BRICS won't be involved initially. We don't know which ones those are, but, you know, save it to say that I think there's some pretty big ones that are interested. So it will be a very important initiative here, and it's got some momentum. But, you know, as we say in the report, right now it's more of a marathon than a sprint, and the important aspect is that the work is continuing. And there is a pathway forward, and there appear to be some motivated players to make it work. And they're also bringing in the private sector significantly. And I think the goal here is to get private sector involvement in the project to start accepting the unit once it gets going. And, you know, we're not quite there yet, I think, in terms of the proof of concept build out, but we're on track to head in that direction. So pretty good news for those who are in favor of and anticipating a gold-backed currency. No, it's not going to be hitting the shelves anytime soon. Going to China, for the next Chinese holiday, may probably won't be buying items in China using BRICS units, but or BRICS Pay, even for that matter. But that's the direction we're heading in. And I think it's starting to get the attention of some policy analysts in Washington. We're starting to hear about, well, look, we've got all this gold sitting at the Fed. It's still, valued at a holding cost, but it's really worth about $700 billion. Maybe the U.S. should be leapfrogging the BRICS in doing something with this gold to restore, to support the value of the U.S. dollar and U.S. Treasury bonds. So I think that discussion is still in its early stages. It's more likely to gain traction, in my opinion, under a Trump administration than under a Harris administration. So we'll know likely who's in charge of the next administration in a few days. So it could be an interesting area to watch, and we'll see who, a lot will depend on if Trump wins, who he points as his Treasury Secretary, and what their feelings are on what maybe the U.S. can do with all that gold they have sitting in their vaults, and whether it can be used as part of a way to bolster the value of Treasury bonds globally. So we'll have to see. So I think we're in for interesting times. I think there's a chance that we could have a competition, and hopefully it would be a constructive, friendly competition between the BRICS blocks and the U.S. block in terms of how to really take their monetary systems to the next stage in the years ahead. So again, I think that a lot will depend, though, on who wins the election for the U.S. I doubt that a Harris administration will be all that keen on changing anything. I think they're quite happy with the kind of money printing status quo that's there right now. And we'll have to see if Trump is willing to kind of look at different ways of approaching public finance in the future.
Now, as I understand it, the proposed monetary thing is going to be called the unit, 40% backed by gold, 60% fiat currency. Now, depending on which exchange you look at today, that theoretical brick is worth anywhere from $24 to $81 U.S. in value. It went up 52% in the last week, but only $308,000 worth of units were traded on those exchanges. So that number can really be manipulated.
Well, to be honest with you, I'm not familiar with that exchange and that unit. I it's, as far as I'm aware, and I could be mistaken on that, it's still in the development stage. So there may be someone trying to emulate it.
Yeah.
I wouldn't look at it priced in U.S. dollars in any event. I'd be looking at it priced in a gram of gold. Okay. So, and the whole aspect of the whole idea behind the white paper of the unit is to be gold anchored. So quoting it in U.S. dollars to me doesn't make any sense.
Oh, absolutely. Now, if they're going to get this currency up and running, we know Russia and China have been stocking up on gold every way they can over the past dozen years. Countries like Canada, the UK sold off their gold at bargain basement prices several years ago. Is it time for Canada and the UK and the US to start stocking up on gold again?
Well, that's a very good question. And I think that the way the BRICS unit train has left the station, it's not a bullet train. it's a freight train, and so and we'll see how much cargo it's able to pull along with it. But if things move into this direction, then I think all these countries will have to look at it. But ultimately, though, I think a lot will depend on how the United States responds, and it will be interesting. I mentioned that Trump administration might be more proactive in doing something, but eventually the market may dictate what happens. So we will have to see how this all plays out. But the good news, I think, is that because the work on the unit is going to take some time, and it's going to be pretty thorough, it seems like, then, you know, there isn't like any sort of a urgency, I think, for the Americans to react. But, you know, things can change quite quickly in geoeconomics, geopolitics, who knows. But I think the base case is that this will evolve over the next few years. Brazil is in charge of the BRICS in 2025, and Brazil will not be trailblazing in this area. I don't think it's there, you know, it's not on the top of their list. In fact, the BRICS summit is in July next year, which is like halfway through the year, because Brazil's also hosting the climate conference, which seems to be a higher priority for Brazil than the BRICS conference. So that is why it was important, though, this year for the BRICS to get these working groups going on the payments and financial tech side, so that the working groups could do their work under a framework that was set out, which was spelled out in the BRICS Business Council annual report. So work will continue, and it, you know, we may not see a lot of big developments in 2025. Maybe 2026 will be more of a breakout year. We will have to see.
We'll have more with Ted Dixon right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Ted Dixon. Ted, is there a race for global gold supremacy?
Well, this is kind of what this is what we titled our October top mining report on, and this gets down to, we know how the U.S. might respond to the BRICS unit, whether they want to get out in front of it or not. It's too early to say, I think, but it is interesting that we have seen, regardless of what happens to the BRICS unit, we have seen BRICS countries, as you mentioned earlier before the break. You know, we have seen countries like China and Russia build up their gold reserves. We've seen India move its gold reserves back from London back home into India. And so there is definitely, by a number of countries, a move to establish strength in terms of gold reserves and gold holdings. And, you know, America has this wonderful position where it has significant reserves already. The question is now, are they going to flex their muscles a bit and do something with that in terms of their monetary system? So we'll have to stay tuned. And, you know, if Donald Trump wins, I think there's going to be significant policy disruption. And I don't mean that necessarily in a negative way. He's musing, and I doubt that, you know, I'd be surprised if this happens in its fullness, totality. You know, he's musing about replacing income tax with tariffs. Well, that's it sounds pretty scary, but when you think about it, well, what he's talking about is replacing income tax with a consumption tax, and it's a hidden consumption tax. So politically, it's actually quite ingenious, I think, you know, because, like, if he were to run and say, well, I'm going to replace income tax with a sales tax, people would go, no, thank you very much, especially those people who are retired and, you know, no longer working and not really paying much in income tax. You know, they're going to say, no, thank you. But tell people, well, look, no, there's, like, you're not going to have, no more sales tax, or just get rid of income tax. You know, you could say it's cynical, but politicians, come on, you know, they're all looking at ways to bring in policies that have maximum upside and limited downside. And, you know, the U.S. will have to do something about its budget situation. I mean, I keep hearing about how strong the U.S. economy is. Well, when you're running a 7% budget deficit year after year, GDP, your economy better be growing. And so this is not sustainable forever. And the question is, how will Washington deal with this? And I think whether it's Democrats or Republicans, they're going to want to deal with it by growing their way out of it.
as opposed to austerity. And austerity means cuts either to government services or high taxes. And so to do that, though, they'll still need to be able to run substantial nominal deficits, but the they'll need to also be able to fund those with foreign investment. And that's where making the best use of their $700 billion worth of gold reserves may come in handy. So we'll have to see. And that would, again, that would put the gold in the spotlight. I mean, Jim, we have to remember that basically ever since Nixon took us off the gold standard as a society in the mid-early 70s, the U.S. has been on a very successful march of financializing the system, financial system, the monetary system. It's become a financial system that's founded on significant collateralization of treasury, so collateralization of government debt, where, you know, if you government issues a debt in a treasury bill, you can take that and you can use it to basically get more debt, right? And so this has been going on now for a number of decades, but we may have reached, there's indications we've reached the ending point of that trick. And it's been a good run, you know. And but maybe that now is starting to wear out, and could be all sorts of reasons for it. Maybe it's just running out of momentum. Maybe Biden's decision to essentially engage in the war in Ukraine, which had the consequence of freezing Russian assets. That may well have been the tipping point, whereas, because regardless of what one's view is on the war, if you're an international entity with treasury bonds and notes and bills, and you've just seen the G7 freeze Russia's assets, you're going, well, better Russia than us, but what if ours get frozen the next time for whatever reason? And I think that was a strategic mistake, and because it undermined the comfort level that people that a number of international players would have had holding U.S. treasuries, and so that was an outcome of the war that I think may have set off this race for global gold supremacy in terms of the monetary system.
Ted, anything else we should be keeping a close eye on right now?
Well, you know, we probably will have some volatility around the election, especially if Trump does win. In that, I think he's not assumed to be sticking with the status quo. I think the response of investors it will be a little bit clearer if Harris wins. But with Trump, everyone will be waiting to see who his Treasury Secretary is, and who the Commerce Secretary is, and what their priorities are, and deregulation and the like. So things will be a lot more volatile between now and Inauguration Day, and gold could be a bounce around quite a bit, because you'll see a lot of people in the media talking about a stronger dollar due to tariffs or pro-growth. There'll be a whole bunch of reasons why. But the fundamentals, as we put in the report, our mining report today, they haven't changed. Some of the fundamentals around the U.S. economy could change, and that would be dollar positive likely under Trump, I imagine. But there would also be some counter trends that could develop as well. But we'll just have to see, you know. So let's brace ourselves for a bit of volatility here. And also, I know we put out a top 30 energy report also at the last week of October. And key insiders have been taking advantage of this latest pullback in energy. So we're heading into a seasonally weak period of energy for energy shares. So insiders seem to be willing to buy these pullbacks. Doesn't mean the pullback is over by any stretch. We could still see some more weakness. But to take a look at our energy report to see which Canadian oil patch stocks are being preferred by insiders, and we're lucky in this country. We have a good, vibrant energy patch, and we have a very strong mining sector. So certainly the mining sector looks like it could be on a good run here for the next few years, and but we'll just have to get through the next few weeks.
Ted, thank you so much for chatting with us.
Thanks for having me back, Jim.
My guest has been Ted Dixon, CEO and co-founder of InkResearch.ca, Canada's first online financial news and research service providing insider news and knowledge to investors. His website, CanadianInsider.com. If you have any questions for Ted or for any of our guests, you can send them to info@HowStreet.com. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. Find us on X at How Street. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com, HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.